All right. Hello, RMR Training Podcast. Full squad back together. First time in like, it's been like 5 or 6 weeks. Squad, I missed you. It's great seeing everybody.
Has it been that long?
I think
so. It's been at least a month.
A month?
A month.
I haven't talked. We haven't talked to you guys. We have so much to talk about. I don't know. And so much and like nothing to talk about. We're just going to hang out today.
I mean, it's not like we're not in a group chat and we talk almost
that's
on
true.
The daily.
But first time we've recorded.
In a podcast.
We've recorded a show together in a long time. So
it's good to be back, though. Good to be back.
Feels great. What do we got? 7 weeks?
7 weeks.
Seven weeks, man. It's coming. Is it close enough? When does it feel for you guys? I mean, obviously, after the last major, it's like, okay, now it's like set our sights on Worlds. Does it feel like it's imminent as soon as it kind of changed that block? Or is there a certain amount of time? Because me currently, I'm like going through the motions of getting to the place I need to be to like really kind of turn it on. So I don't feel like, oh, Worlds is like now I'm like really locked in, but I'm going to have to be here in the next week or two.
Yeah.
Where are you guys at?
I think I've learned so much. Like last year, probably at this time, like I was so psyched for Worlds that I was like hitting everything crazy hard for like so long before the actual race. And this year, I think just for me being a little bit more experienced and also just like knowing how high my overall fitness level just is, period. Like I don't feel that same level of stress that I probably did last year. You know what I mean?
Less urgency. Less to be like
less urgent. Like I know I'm going to get there. Yeah. I know I'm going to get there. I know what I need to do. I have 7 weeks still. Like I think before it was kind of like the unknown because it was like my first full season. Like I didn't really like know what I was kind of getting myself into. Now I feel like I just have I have a higher level of confidence in just my fitness and my ability. So like I don't feel like I know I need what I need to do, but I don't feel stressed about it. Does that make sense? Where I think last year I was probably like, I have to, what do I do?
There's a bit of unknown.
Like a little bit more like uncertainty.
Yeah. It was your first season. So I was like, how much can you squeeze out of it? Right. Like,
right.
What kind of improvement can you make in 12 weeks? And does every single workout need to be
like,
the biggest, most important thing?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Where are you at, Kent?
I'm feeling loosey-goosey.
Loosey-goosey?
I'm feeling free.
Man.
I love that for you.
Yeah. I mean, if you looked at my training right now, you'd probably be like, what is this guy training for? And it's I'm just doing such a variety of things. I'm going to the track. I'm doing CrossFit workouts. I'm doing machine intervals. I'm in the mountains getting vert. I'm just doing this crazy range of just like different types of fitness. And in the past, that's when it's kind of yielded my best results. You know, it's like when I'm having fun and doing the things that I like to do. So, I mean, honestly, if the world champs wasn't even like on the calendar right now, I wouldn't even know that it's coming because it's not that I'm not thinking about it. It's just I'm just enjoying the training right now, you know, and I can't say that it's been that way, you know, other times in the past. So
I think one thing I got really good about this year is doing things that I enjoy doing. Because I think last year, everything was so dialed into HYROX and so specific to that. And I kind of like got away from some of the things that made me and that I just purely loved doing. And there were so many workouts where I had to really talk myself into it every time. Like, you have to do this. You have to do it. You know what I mean? And I think when you become a little bit more experienced, you understand how important just doing those things that you purely enjoy doing is too, even just in your training for your mindset. You know, maybe doing CrossFit doesn't help me a ton for the next 7 weeks until Worlds, but I love doing it now. And so, okay, I'm going to do it twice a week just for my mind. Do I need to get stronger? No, I know that. I probably need to get less strong, actually. So, but it's what I love to do. So like there is that balance to training too, where you can't just do all the shit you hate all the time, and vice versa. You can't just all do all the things you love all the time either. You have to kind of find that happy medium.
I haven't even begun doing Hyrox specific workouts yet. You know, if anything, like going to Cologne last weekend and running that pro race off of a month of kind of just like messing around and then 2 weeks of decent training, it made me believe that like we're conditioned to do these types of things. Like it almost like comes natural. So like you don't need to be spending, I think, a ton of time doing these compromised running workouts. I think they're beneficial and there's a time and a place, and I will start implementing them as I get closer to the race, but it's not like I need to do them for like two straight months, like maybe I have thought in the past. I mean, I did a 10K road race yesterday here in Greenville.
How was it?
We can get into it, but it's like things like that I never would have done in a major preparation for a world championship event. I'd be like, I need to do like a Hyrox sim or something. You know, I would never allow myself in the past to go do something like that. And it's fun, and I'm just enjoying it right now.
10K road race.
Well, let's just say it was more like four. It was like a 4 mile road race.
Why'd you blow up?
A little bit.
Damn.
10K is not of a distance that is like 10K foot
is nasty.
Run. Yeah. It's less like hurts like a 5K for twice.
But it's two times as long.
Yeah.
First of all, I made the mistake of not, I looked at the course map, but I didn't read the elevation profile. So I knew that it was going to be in like the city, and then it was going to go through some neighborhoods, but I didn't realize how much elevation gain was going to be in this race. It was like 400 and some feet over 10K, which sucks. Like it's not nothing. And some of those hills packed a punch. So ultimately the race goes off and immediately I'm like, wow, like I'm going to be doing this for the next 30 some minutes. Like there's no point to where I'm going to stop and like hop on a rower or anything. It's just strictly running.
Yeah.
And the race started out with like a 600 meter climb. It was about 2 minutes of maybe like 4 to 5% grade. And then it was flat for a little bit. And then we bombed down a hill and then we were up. And then, I mean, it was just, there was no point in that race where you could kind of get into a groove. It almost felt like a trail race in some regards, where you're just kind of like up and down. And I came through the mile in like 5:23 and I was like breathing pretty hard. And there
with
was
an
a
uphill. Yeah. 5:23 with an uphill. And you were with other runners.
Yeah. So there was a group of three of pro runners that took off. They ended up running, I think the winner went just dipped under 30. Oh. But these are 27 minute guys on the track.
Yeah.
What's their skier 2K? You know? Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, really.
Not good.
Exactly.
Not good.
But then
they do a 50 meter sled push in. That's all I care about.
No, I know.
Probably not.
I was lining up, dude, and they're just, I was looking at them. I'm like, man, they're so skinny.
Did you wear a shirt?
I know, right?
No, I didn't wear a shirt, dude. No, I was showing off these muscles.
Hell yeah.
I got so many like, come on, big guy. You're doing
that. I love that.
Guy.
That's so funny. Oh my God, I'm dead.
So I was in the second pack. There was like three or four of us. And we were way behind. That second pack ended up running like mid 34. But I came through 5K just under 17. And that's with like, it was like 200 and some feet at that point of elevation gain. So like it was work. Like my heart rate was in the 170s. And at that point I said, okay, I can either fade these last 3 miles and just completely fall apart and die, or I can sink my teeth in right now and just like hold on for another mile and get four really good miles of work, rather than just like three and then just kind of die. So that's what I did. When it started hurting, I kind of sunk my teeth in for another mile and then basically pulled the plug at mile four, came through four right at 22 flat, which is 5:30 pace.
Yeah.
And then ran like 7 minute pace in the last 2 miles.
Nice little cool down.
Yeah. And it just, in the moment I was like, this, I feel like I made the right decision. But I got what I wanted out of it. And then this upcoming weekend, we're going to hop into another, we're going to do an 8K this weekend. And
so then like, you can get like still a little bit closer, to
a little bit closer.
This one. It's like 4.5 miles.
But right? I didn't, honestly, yeah. I had no idea.
He's going to do 5 miles and then a 3 mile cool down into the finish this time.
Yeah. It was weird though, man, like hopping in just a purely running race. It's it, that used to come so,
oh my God,
natural to me. And now it just like, it doesn't at all. Feels weird.
I did one like 4 miler. It was like a 4 on the 4th kind of thing in the summer. And I felt so odd just running 4 miles straight. I was like, who am I? Like, I don't even know. What do I do on this uphill? I forgot how bad these suck. Like, and mine was also an extremely, extremely hilly. And so I'm like looking at my watch and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what, why am I so slow? And then I'm like, I don't run hills like this in races at this effort anymore, ever. You know what I mean? So just, it really does feel, I should do more road races just to like have it in the pocket a little bit more. But it does feel, when you haven't done one in a long time, it feels super strange.
Where'd
at
you
least
pin
to
your
me.
Number? Did you pin on your shorts?
Okay, so this actually bothered me. I showed you had to pick up your race packet the night before downtown because
how many
the race
people
started.
Is this like a yeah, sounds like a good
it's
race?
It's like the 46th annual.
Oh wow! How much so did they pay out for the top?
They pay out. It's like 500 or something, and then they pay out to the first
shabby.
Like South Carolina resident or something like that. So there's always like decent talent that shows up. I think there was like 2,000 runners or something.
That's legit.
And I was in fourth. I was in fourth
under 30.
Yeah. So I show up the day before. I show up the day. I ended up like ninth, I think.
Yeah.
I show up the day before, pick up my packet, and I got my number, and I'm like, oh, like, and this shows you how long I've been out of the running game. I was like, you know, where's my safety pins to pin my number? And they're like, oh, they're in your bag. And I like look in my bag, and I'm like, I don't see any safety pins. And they're these like new like clip-on things where you like there's like you punch them into your shorts. It like goes into a hole, like into a groove, and they just pop in and pop out. I've never seen these before
what?
In my life.
I'm actually not even sure what you're talking about. Like it punches a hole in it, or is it like it's not a magnet or anything?
No, it's like a little. It's like a. I can't even describe it.
I know.
I really don't know. Yeah,
I know. You can't.
So I pinned it on my shorts. And took my shirt off and was out there rolling.
Showing these young bloods what some muscles
when I got,
look like.
And I don't, I had, I was
what's
rocking
that inseam?
My high.
7 inch?
Actually, I think they were five. They were 5 inch.
Five. That's tight. Yeah. It's not the runner. Yeah. Three.
No.
Too thick for those tiny shorts these days.
They were asking after the race. Everyone's like, what do you do? I'm like, oh, I do this sport called High Rocks.
Don't start doing it. Just kidding.
They get worked.
Yeah, they would.
They get worked.
But it was so much fun. Yeah. I mean, I averaged, my heart rate was like average of 174 for almost 25 minutes, you know? Like, mm-hmm. There's no way I could replicate that in a training effort, you know? So I got what I wanted out of it. Now we're gonna go do an 8K this weekend. And this one's in Charlotte. So I'm thinking, fuck, I don't know. Charlotte's a little bit hilly too. I think there's like a couple hundred feet of gain in this one too. It's hard to get flat around here.
So what's the idea with the races? Like why pop it into these? Is it just a way to make sure you are ramping up the intensity more than what you would typically get?
That's
I know
pretty
it's,
much
like,
it.
I don't think we did. Like, yeah, I was thinking, I was like, oh yeah, I've done road races recently, but I definitely haven't. I can't remember last time I really have done a road race.
When I was in my best fitness for Spartan, it was when I was doing like road races and stuff on the weekends, like leading into a big event. I was doing half marathons and 8Ks and 5Ks. And that just got me so ready. You know, I think you're able to push yourself to a level in a race situation than you could in training. And there's no pressure. You know, it felt so nice to hop on that start line and not even feel like I need to be on the front row. I could be like five rows back. And
were you nervous?
I had a little bit of butterflies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. But I have to do something really hard.
Mm-hmm. But mostly it's just, yeah, to just get used to that sting, man. Like there, like I got to the point where I wanted to give up, you know, and eventually I kind of did throw in the towel at mile four.
Yeah. I got to the point where I wanted to give up and then I did.
I fought for another mile. But there's no way I would get there in training, you know? So like, I think these races are going to be, really beneficial for me, even though it's not like I'm doing a high rocks race, you know? And it really pushes my running, I think, to a whole nother level as well. Cause I think ultimately that's what this race is going to come down to, is how good can your running be, you know? So.
That's what it seems like with the new equipment now. Things are sliding well, and people are just getting better at this stuff. What's your guys' take on that? Because we don't need to talk about Berlin too much, I don't think. But
it seems like I saw that post.
The times are just
like
insane.
What?
It's like, okay, cool, these are going to count. But with the equipment being moving better and you know, people seem to think that now it's like, oh, this is just like a runner's event. And really, I think it's always been a runner's event, and it's just easier to get stronger than it is to get faster. And now everybody's just kind of catching up. Yeah. So how do you think that's going to affect like the landscape? What are you guys thinking in terms of like Kent, seems like you're making a choice now. It's like, hey, I need to really make sure my running is going to be as good as possible.
Well, for
and
me,
my
even...
focus is on that too.
Even before the equipment change, like I knew if I wanted to go out hard, like some of these guys do, I need to get better at running, or at least be able to go out hard and hang on, you know? So that was even before the equipment change. So, you know, ultimately I don't think it's going to change the leaderboard all that much, if I'm being 100% honest. I think it's just going to make the race a little bit faster. The same guys and girls are going to be at the front, you know? Like,
I agree.
That's kind of just like my take on it.
And Meg, you think that that's the same route for you? Just running, getting fast?
Yeah. Just getting fast, getting the wheels going. And I agree. I think that you have a group of people in both the men's and women's side that are also too good at the stations. You know what I mean? Just overall too good at running, too good at the stations for just somebody to come in with more of just the running side and be able to make a huge impact. It's just, you have to have the perfect blend of both things. You can't have, you know what I mean? Because there's so many moments in races that come down to the wire. And if you don't have those wall balls in check, if you don't have those lunges in check, doesn't matter how good your running is, you're going to fall off at those points. Because as long as someone's even within reach of you, if they outdo you on those two things by a big enough amount, it's over. You know what I mean? So you have to have the blend, but.
And I
think we've seen this happen a few times. We've seen other athletes, hugely successful athletes from other realms, try to come in thinking that, oh, I'm a phenomenal runner. And then they get worked on the stations. You know what I mean? It just happened in, where were we, Kent? Cologne.
That one guy who...
Yeah.
Oh, he had a hard time on the slide.
Really nice guy. Pro triathlete. Went out super hot, and I don't recall seeing him very much from the sled push on.
Sled push. Yeah.
The rest of the race.
Yeah, I mean, it's still wreaking havoc, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's not like it once was, but it's not like it's easy by any means, you know? You're just spending less time on it. It's not that the time you're spending on it is any easier.
Yeah.
You know? Like you're still...
It's making
working.
It so... It's less of like... segmented like run and then a station and then like a run, like ramping and kind of up and down. It's just like sticking to a point where you can hold as fast as possible for as long as you can and just moving through everything at that rate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's ultimately, maybe a sport's not all the way there yet. It's definitely getting close at the top, but soon that's what it's going to be. People are just going to be able to just like peg it, just smash through everything.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, oh, the sleds aren't as heavy. It's like they didn't get lighter. You know, like the new stuff moves well, but the last stuff would move fine too sometimes. But like the weight mm-hmm. is still the same. People are just more fit all.
Yeah.
So get more fit.
I think that's a good takeaway.
And something with the running, it's like there's this, like what we're doing in this sport is novel, right? There hasn't been a sport where you need to have a certain musculature to perform really well that also includes fast distance running, right? So yeah. Distance runners, is sort of like they look the same way, right? Kent's a big guy out there, even though he's like the skinniest dude on a high rock start line. Added some 10K.
I might be come world championships. Your boy's getting skinny.
What do you mean getting? Been skinny. And, but like we, so like in terms of what historically we know as like being possible, like how fast someone can run, it's always been, they're just stripped all the way down, right?
Yep.
And it's going to be hard for athletes to get to the highest level of running ability with this musculature, but like we're just kind of like tapping into it. You know, it's not like a binary thing where it's either you have muscle and run slow. And like, that's really what this whole sport's about. And what that high end can be in terms of a runner, I don't even think we're close to seeing it yet for like the athletes mm-hmm. in the sport. So mm-hmm. gonna have to keep it pushing.
I think the biggest trait somebody can have in high rocks, I mean, obviously running is important and strength is important, but I think it's just your willingness to just suffer and fight. Yep. You know,
that's an intangible. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like at some point, man, it's just how bad do you want this, you know?
Like, yeah.
And how bad are you willing to suffer to get what you want? You know, that's, mm-hmm. I think it's one of the cool things about our sport is like, it's just freaking, I don't even know the adjective to describe it. You know, it's just like raw and like
gritty.
You know, and if you have that intangible, you can do pretty well. You know, you might be able to beat somebody who's faster than you because when it starts to suck, you don't like give in to that pain, you know? So
I think that that's
one thing that these road races, I think, are helping me with is like getting to that point and not giving into it.
Continuing to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something I think about. I'm just watching like the NBA playoffs a little bit. And I think there's a point where in this sport, or just even road racing is a good example, running in general, it's like there are people who are just super fast and might not have that intangible, but they're just so good that they could still get like fifth at something mm-hmm. where the intangible separates that, but like the fitness level is all almost the same, you know? And there's people who might have this grittiness who are just not as talented or just haven't gotten there yet. You know, I think about that in basketball too. It's like all these guys are the most talented, best skilled, but like there's only a couple players that have that like switch that they can like really be dialed in all the way on the mental and tangible part. So mm-hmm. I think right now, like, yeah, like to perform at the best and to get on the podium at these races, you definitely need that. Like, because you can't just fitness your way to a podium right now.
I personally feel this is why I have podiumed every single high rocks I've ever done. Like on the days it was going really shitty for me, I refused to let myself fall back. You know, when like most people probably would have, you know what I mean? Or just said like, it's just not my day. So whatever, fuck it. Not a big deal. Like I think that is, this is hugely a reason why I've been successful. It's this that I have that is probably my biggest skill. The biggest skill that I have in this sport by far is my mentality. You know, so I firmly agree. I think that is the true separator among people in general, but especially in sports.
Yeah, and I think it can be learned. You know, I think there's definitely parts of it that is going to be more inherent maybe, or just a natural way of thinking. Like, but I think it's certainly something that can be learned, but it's a little bit trickier to do so. Like, Meg, what do you think? Like, what is it that allows you to to tap into that so easily.
Upbringing
for sure. A lot of the stuff I've personally gone through in my personal life too, just overcoming a lot of different things over time and just refusing to settle in those moments. You know, when life was hitting me really hard, you know, I was like, I'm going to fight my fucking way out of this. Tooth and nail, like whatever I need to do, I've always been fully willing to do it. You know, I've worked 3 jobs at a time as a single mom before, you know, to make ends meet and make sure that I have what I need and all that kind of stuff. Like all of that, I think it just compounds over time. Another really big thing, it was weird. I was thinking about this earlier that I've been taught. I was talking with a parent about her son not wanting to play sports in high school and he just wants to lift. And we're in this like weird epidemic in life and in society where like kids don't want to play sports. They want to just like work out, or they focus on one sport and they're not playing multiple sports. Some of the biggest lessons that I carry with me still are from my basketball coach, not even from running. And one big thing that I've always taken with me, and I think that I've been able to apply to Hyrox, is you can't change what just happened, but you can keep your chin the fuck up and move on from it. And so whenever I'm in a Hyrox situation, like I have that thought where it's like, okay, that didn't go as well as it should have. Oh, well, it's over, move on. And now now we're running. Now we have burpees. Now we have a whole nother, we got more time. We have another thing to focus on, and letting it go and leaving it behind you, because you can't change it. So you just have to move on. And that's like, you know, when you're playing a sport like basketball, like maybe a play doesn't go right, but how do you handle it? How do you handle the next play? Are you running down fouling somebody because you're mad? Exactly. Like those are huge lessons that I take away from like, you know, adolescent sports that I still really, really carry with me. And I think that's a big part of that mentality of like having no quit, having that grit, like letting the stuff go that is out of your control. Maybe your sled goes wrong, you know, or the like at Worlds, my rope flew off of my sled and I lost 20 seconds. I stood there and I counted. You know what I mean? I could have let that completely destroy the whole race, but it is what it is. And I just have to let it go and move on. You know, there's nothing I can do about it now. I don't know.
Yeah,
my dad was pretty hard, and I think Kent's dad was also pretty hardcore. So we have that very similar upbringing too, where like for me, it was, if you don't like a result, go fucking work harder. Like that's it, period. You don't blame anybody. You don't blame a ref. You don't blame a coach. You don't blame whatever. It's like, okay, put your nose down and go work harder. Like that's just like the way I was raised. So I think that's been a huge part of where I, like how I think as an athlete.
Yeah, that's interesting for an endurance sport. It's a little bit, because like the lessons from a team sport where it is like a little bit more like here's a play, next play, here's a play. Like it switches, so you can have that like short-term memory. Being able to apply something like that to endurance is a great skill to have, because it's just one thing, you know? Mm-hmm. Like you just gotta sit, you can either sit there and dwell on it, because it's not necessarily like sequential. There's not like little chapters that are happening. It's like one race and something goes wrong. So easy just to like sit there and think about why it's going wrong, and there's nothing else to distract you. So that's a really good one, the short-term kind of memory to keep pushing forward. Because I've definitely been in endurance races before and been like, starts to spiral negatively.
Yeah.
And then it's like really hard to get out of it because there's nothing else happening to take my head away from it, you know?
I think a thing too for me, like even if a workout's not going well, I just focus on the next one. And so I'll be like, just get one more. Like I was doing 1Ks on Thursday and they just did, my legs just felt real heavy. I did a lot of volume the day before on Wednesday. I raced 2 races Sunday. Obviously I'm traveling. I've been on my feet a lot. And so like, I just didn't feel like 100% hitting them. I knew I wasn't. But I literally like fought my way from 5 to 8 just by telling myself, just get one more rep. just get one more 1K.
Then like 200 meters at a time. I'll do that with that. Like just get to, it's like, all right, we're at 600.
Just get to 800. Just get to,
we're all right.
You know? And like, I was still able to slowly increase my pace over those three, because if you can do it incrementally, you don't feel necessarily that change quite as much. And so I just like tried to pick up the next one by like one little bump up on the treadmill. And then it was like, okay, now two bump ups, on, you know what I mean? And I'm just talking myself through each one at a time instead of looking at it at a whole. And I think the way you, if you can do that and you can break things down and focus on the one task at hand instead of the what the future is gonna be, I think sometimes that can help get you way further through it than you think initially. Does that make sense? Like if you think about the whole race of High Rocks it from the very start and it feels like shit, that's probably not gonna go well for you.
That's the problem with wall balls too, is that it has this hundred number, and it's like, oh my God, I'm at 10. I started even like breaking it down one at a time. It's like I do one rep. I'm like, that wasn't that hard. Like, even though like you're just tired.
Yeah.
But yeah, like being able to stay present in that moment is and like basically, yeah, just accepting where you are and like just coming to grips with it is huge. It's a huge and it's not always that easy. It's not easy to stay present.
It's not.
Just like in our day to day lives, like it's so easy to be distracted. Like our brains are just screwing up. Like my brain can get kind of scrambled like that at times. And so it's like to stick and be present, even when it's like really hard, is like a skill that needs to be practiced. That's where the training kicks in.
For sure. For sure.
I feel that way when I'm doing like EMOM work, where I'm bouncing from like different movements, you know, like if it's ski erg and burpee broad jumps and devil's press or something, it's like, just get through the ski erg. And then you're on to a different movement.
Yeah.
You know, like, and then eventually you make it one round through and then two rounds through. When I was doing, I did that 10 minute thruster workout yesterday. Again, I've been doing that once a week. This week I bumped up the weight and it's literally 10 minute. It's a 10 minute freaking workout. Mm-hmm. And at like round four or five, I started saying, cause I had upped the weight this week. I'm like, look, if you can't do the 10 reps, like you can do 9 reps on the next set, you know, but every round I kept just doing 10, just get through one more round. And then eventually you get to like 7 or 8 and you're like, fuck, I only got like 2 or 3 more. Like
you can finish this thing.
Yeah. Finish this thing out.
Just buckle down,
you know, but it was doing exactly what you just said. Just don't focus on round 10 when you're on round 3, just try to get through the next round.
Yep.
And then the next round. And then
but also that workout is really hard.
It's hard. Yeah.
Like for someone who, not to be tooting my horn, but I'm really good at thrusters. Any thruster movement, you guys know, is my jam. And I was gassed after that. This is a very intense workout. Maybe this is the workout of the week. I don't know.
It's physically and mentally, like it forces daunting. You to like question yourself a lot.
Yeah. I there was a point, I think I was on round 6 and I thought to myself, I was doing 10 reps at 95 pounds and I was getting through it in just under 30 seconds, like maybe 28 seconds each round. And at about round 6, I thought to myself, I don't think I can do 10 this next round. And I just forced myself the last 2 reps, like I filmed the one set and you can't tell from the film versus how I felt. Like it was taking everything I had to like get that bar over my head the last like 2 reps of the last few rounds. Like, and I was I was bending over, I was sucking wind. Like that's a good one.
So the workout is 10 minute AMRAP, 10 minute EMOM.
10 minute EMOM.
10 thrusters on the minute.
10 thrusters.
Mm-hmm. That is not, doesn't sound fun. Maybe I'll try it. Maybe I won't.
You start with 95 pounds, all right?
That's light, son. What did you say? What did you do 120 this week?
Yeah, 120 or 125.
125? That's a good that's good weight. It's a good weight. We haven't talked since you guys been back from FIBO.
FIBO was super cool.
Was it cool?
Yes.
I wanted to go, but I didn't miss the travel. I'm cool on that. I was cool not traveling over there.
It's just different. It's different over there, man. Like,
yeah.
It felt like a music festival all weekend long.
It really did. It's just, I mean, it's the biggest fitness festival in the world. I didn't know there were so many gym equipment brands in my life. Like, there was just so many vendors, so many people. The Hyrox event was really cool. I feel like there's just a different vibe at these European races compared to the American races, I think. Like, even just during Linda's and my doubles, we had so much support during that doubles. And like, we race in Chicago in like the Elite 15, and we had more support in our doubles than we did in the Elite 15 Chicago race.
Yeah, but your Elite 15 in Stockholm, there was literally just nobody there.
And also there was nobody there. Yeah, but I know, but it's just still like,
so it's not a US versus Europe thing. It's more just like where it was set up.
I don't know. I think it was a little bit of both. Being straight up.
Yeah. It's not the same, man. It's not the same. I love America, but these European Hyrox races are on a different level.
But they're crazy for it.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. There was one point where
Meg, this convention center was freaking massive, by the way.
Massive.
And Meg was doing some ESN stuff in another part of the building. And I was like, hey, like, where are you at? Like, just tell me where you're at and I'll come meet you. And she's like, I can't even begin to tell you how to get here.
Yeah.
And I was like,
actually know.
Tell me where you are. It's like, can't.
And eventually she told me what hall she was in and like all the details. And I eventually started just like slowly making my way over there. But it was like a breadcrumb trail to find
her. And just ESN in general is so crazy. Like, okay, so we did this burpee challenge. There were easily 250 people standing in front of a stage watching us do burpees on the stage. Like,
that's so weird.
30 minutes before our relay.
Like, yeah, fair point. And I had to do burpee practice in the relay. It was a terrible decision. 10 out of 10, don't recommend. I did 100 burpees, had already done mixed doubles, and then had to do the run and the burpee broad jumps and the mixed relay. It was a terrible plan.
I didn't even look at you guys' splits yet. Let me pull these up.
No, don't.
I'm doing it.
Don't look at the splits. Don't look at the burpee drop. To be fair, I also was up against Peter Schiller and the freaking burpees. So that was...
You couldn't run away from him?
I don't know. I thought he didn't. I thought he missed a lap. I was like,
I thought so too. The burpee broad jump splits messed up, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, because it had like that, like
it had a weird
came out
zap.
And you kind of went back. It got it screwed up a couple times. Yeah,
it did. Yeah. So anyway, actually, that is correct. And my burpees are really fast. Go off of that time.
All the other
be
ones
be afraid.
Were, most of the other Just ones kidding. were slow or fast. Like there was like half of the split.
Yeah.
But if like, look, we're gonna put together a B team at the World Championships, and we're gonna give you some freaking work. Okay.
Oh yeah.
We're
with
gonna
who?
Yeah. Me, Dylan, Viv,
yeah.
And Lauren Griffin. We're gonna give you that work.
Where are you gonna do a race?
Mm. Yeah, you better hope they don't let us in.
Where are you gonna do a race though?
They won't let us in the race. Like we're gonna try to get in. Get the B team in there. US
That's
612.
Right. I'm tripping.
Yeah, we don't have to qualify. You didn't qualify. You just were like, hey Ryan, you wanna do this race? Like, yeah, okay. Because you know what? You don't want to see me on these burpee broad jumps, Meg. What are you guys going to do? Do you guys
I'm not doing burpee broad jumps at Worlds. That's for sure.
Can't you do
I
them?
Mean, there's a bunch of different ways we could go. We could literally do.
I think I have a pretty good idea of what we should do, especially after doing. And we talked about it. We're like, Ken and I are like on the stage, like we just crossed and we're literally like, I have photos of us standing across from each other and we're literally already planning what we're doing it. We're like, all right, that was a terrible idea. We got to do it this way instead.
Oh,
and like,
Ken,
already.
You had too close of a turnaround.
It wasn't that bad. It was okay.
One station?
Two stations.
Oh, you were
and
push.
Burpees.
You were pushing, row.
Yeah.
You were pulling.
Yeah.
It'd be hard not to... to say Hunter should do 1 in 5, right?
He should definitely do 1 in 5.
But then what do I do? Because fours.
Yeah.
You do the ones that are least important.
I disagree. I disagree.
Yeah.
I mean, I can do the push in under a minute at that those weights.
It's going to be pro weight though, right?
Will it be?
I don't think anybody knows. That's the question is, I don't know if it's pro weight or not. That's what I assumed, but I have no idea. Because how are they going to finagle that? With all
they might have to declare and just have rows.
I know, but dude, it doesn't matter if we declare, shit's going to get fucked. You know that. Hyrox, they fuck shit up all the time. Sorry, I just cursed twice. I'm going to yell that.
Same sequence of cursing.
15 races all the time.
I know.
Are they going to pull that off at Worlds? Like, oh, Meg, you have to go to lane three. The next thing I know is I'm doing men's sled pull weight.
I actually think Hunter should do 1 and 4, and I'll do 2 and 5 again.
Yes. And then I do 3.
You can do 3 and 7, or
yeah, something like that. Something like that.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. We don't want to be. Be giving anyone.
You don't even have a plan.
We don't need one.
Hunter's going to come in and he's going to be like, "Here's the plan," and it's going to be a terrible plan, and you guys are going to do it, and it's going to be poorly executed.
We could just front half, like, just stack the first 4 to 5 stations and create just a massive gap, and then just basically coast.
That's the issue, like, because Hunter will be awesome on the ski. Anybody you guys put on the push and pull will do well. So, yeah, it's going to be hard because, like, if Hunter gets that ski, you guys are going to have, like, a 10-second lead somehow.
Yeah, maybe I do 3 and 6. This will be fun.
There's so many ways that with this team, nobody really has any holes.
No,
that's the biggest thing is like Lauren and I are equally good at everything station wise. Like there's really nothing that I would say. I mean, she's a little faster on the sled push. Maybe I'm a little fat, but it's like minuscule seconds, if that, on anything. So
the only station I would say I should not do is wall balls.
Yeah, you're definitely out. Not. So, you have the two fastest wall ballers on your period.
And,
on your
and
team.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're getting that dub, though. We're getting that dub. Only it's going to be no problem.
Only if they don't let the B team in.
You guys aren't getting it.
That's cute. That's really cute, Rich.
You guys I would ask you guys to put in a word to try to get us in, but I know you guys don't want that. That's not something you want to
have happen. I'm not afraid.
It's not something you want.
You wouldn't put Pelayo on there?
Pelayo's Spanish.
Oh, that's true.
He'll be in the relay. He'll be a Team Spain. Camilo's Italy. The only other person would be like, nice. Yeah, so we get enough people to get two U.S. teams. That'd be awesome. Go 1-2. But we'd definitely have a hard time beating you. But we would try. It would be a big challenge. Just line me up wherever Kent is.
This is going to be a little bit of a shots fired, but you guys could even be ahead of us. And if it came down to wall balls, it's over for you. You could come in 20 seconds ahead of us in the wall balls. And I promise you, I will come out first if I'm doing them. And so would Lauren.
Probably.
So.
Well, we'd have to
see.
Sorry to
whoever is going to be doing them on your team.
Have to stretch you. Get that run going. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Anyway.
So we got...
Anyway.
Workout of the week.
Yeah.
Already?
Sure.
How long have we been on here for?
45 minutes or so. It's been good.
Oh.
Yeah. What have you guys been up to? What do you guys do this week?
I'm doing all kinds of intensity.
Doing 10K...
I'm doing 2s and 4s and 8s and then races. And...
No wonder you're doing 200s. No wonder you couldn't make it through 10K. Oh, man. This is long. What am I supposed to
do? I'm getting my threshold work in on machines. I did 10 by 800 on the road. This is the first time I've ever done a workout like this.
I saw that. That was wicked long. I thought it was running at first.
Nope, 10 by 800 with 400 meter recovery jogs in between each rep. And I really enjoy that. And I just cut down. I started out at like 145 pace. And then each round.
What made you choose 800 for that? I'm just curious.
Really just I mean, it's close time to the race distance of what we do in an actual Hyrox, and then just going off of what I've done for improving my running.
Yeah.
In the past, like I love like 8x800 on the track with 2 minute jogs. So I basically just shifted that to the machines. And I'm one thing I'm taking away from that Cologne race is I think, and this is, look, this could be giving out advice to my competitors. And I'm okay with doing that because if you train the same way I train and you beat me, then you're just better. You're just better than me. But I think we should be training the ski and the row differently. I think the row should be trained more in a threshold style because that's just kind of where it is in the race.
Yeah.
The skier, I think we need to be doing shorter, harder VO2 max type training. So anywhere from 200 to 400 meters on the ski, just because people are putting out so hard on that station right off the bat, that if you're not prepared to put out work on that station, you're going to get left behind. So, you know, one thing I'm doing right now is a lot of threshold on the row, but VO2 max. I did 20 by 300 on the ski erg this week. I did 20 by 300 with sets of five. So I'm giving you two workouts right now.
Two workouts sets, of the week.
Sets of five and 30 seconds rest after each 300, but after each fifth rep, you would get a 2 minute rest. So 300 hard, 30 second rest. 300
like
hard, 30 second rest. And then after
and
the
you
fifth,
get full recovery.
2 minute
like
rest. And then you start your next big set.
Yeah.
And you're just gone like hard in the paint on it. And I'm enjoying
that's
this.
How I feel
I'm
about that.
This.
I've actually done very similar workouts where it'd be like high end, short rests, like sets of 3 to 4, and then longer rest in between. And that's a really good way to kind of get that high end and get some volume going with that. I'm actually going to stretch my ski because I find ski to be a little bit more muscular. So I like the volume of it. So doing harder ones, like probably because then I tested a 1K. I think I told you. And then I was kind of basing those like 200 to 300 meters a bit off of this 1K pace that I had. And it would be like at or under 1K pace, basically. And now I'm kind of stretching it a little bit further, doing like 500 and 600s at something that'd be probably closer to 2K pace, the 2K plus 3 or 4 per 500. Just for me, like muscularly, I kind of get gassed on that on the ski erg, so I actually need a little bit longer.
Got to get those lats going.
I'm trying. That's why I'm doing longer stuff. That's why I'm spending more time there. I seem to respond better to it, so I might bring it back around. The nastiest is doing like VO2 at max intervals for 600 to 700 meters, and just taking like 1-to-1 rest, like 2.5 to 3 minute intervals with 3 minute rest. That is the worst on the ski. I got good results from it. I did a block of that one time. I got really good results and then just haven't brought it back because it was so miserable that I just like don't want to take that on. But but yeah, now's a good time to kind of be ramping that up. So I'm playing around with the ski a little bit myself with from that aspect, just and kind of upping the volume just because muscularly it's like been harder than I'd like it to be during my like Hyrox workouts.
Weighted pull-ups for me are like the number one exercise to improving my ski erg. I know like pull-ups is more like a bicep exercise, but what it does to your lats, like Meg was just saying, just gives you so much of that drive phase of the ski erg to where you just have so much strength and power in that movement. So
something I've been thinking about with that as well is kind of like the position of your elbows. It's like a lot of times I feel like my elbows will kind of be flared out, and then it ends up being a little bit more of like kind of like chest is pulling down with the lats. But if I like make sure my elbows are in, then it gets like lower into my lat as well. Like if you can just kind of like feel it when you're like putting your hand on your lat, turning your elbows in, It'll like activate all like, cause your lat's huge. Basically it like goes almost like down to like your low back, you know?
Yeah.
So when my elbows kind of flare out, then I'm a little bit more like not using the intended muscle. So that's something else I've been thinking about too. It's like little tweaks, just trying to keep those elbows in some on the.
I've gone back and forth with my skier technique. I initially started with the windmill. So like you would basically go out.
Would you call it a windmill?
I think I did. Right. Windmill.
There you go.
And then I went back to the traditional, like down, but I've gone back when I do my hard power output, I go back to the windmill stroke. Mm-hmm. And there's something about that engages your lats way more. Mm-hmm. And I generate just so much more force and power to the point where now I think at Worlds, I'm going to be back to that stroke.
Mm-hmm.
Works for me. May not work for everybody, but it works for me.
Anna would have a field day. I know. She'd be like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
Because that just kind of looks cool, you know. Does it look cool?
I don't know if it looks cool. I think it looks like you don't know.
World Championships 2 years ago, I did that stroke like in across the board in every race. If you go back and watch, and worked out well for me.
Didn't do much free in the fit.
Wow.
That's all I know. Mm. Meg, you've been doing a little bit of skier technique stuff too, right?
Yeah. Anna helped me a lot. She is an indoor ski and row world record holder. She comes to the athletic camp. So I extend really high at the top and she just basically moved my hands down like an inch. And my pace dropped easily 2 to 3 seconds per 500 just from that.
So you basically just shortened your stroke.
I just shortened it a tiny bit because basically what was happening was as I'm so strong, especially my back, that it didn't really impact me so much like in a negative way, but I'm not giving more effort. I'm just I shortened it a tiny bit. So my lats just stay slightly more engaged.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where I'm muscularly strong enough where for me, it wasn't like as big of a deal, but it's, you know what I mean? Where someone else might have had a really big, that might have been really taxing muscularly for them to be doing. But now it's just making me slightly faster with the same level of effort. So I really appreciated that tip. She gave me a good rowing tip too. I was sliding just a hair too quick and she fixed that. And
just slowing it down.
Everything is going in a very good way. I actually don't think I've ever felt more powerful on machines than I have lately. So even the assault bike, or echo bike, whichever, like when I first started doing this stuff, I was like, this is the worst fucking machine ever. And now like I can hold RPMs way higher than I was able to a year ago. So yeah, I don't know. I feel good about my machine stuff.
Yeah, that's something I've been playing around with the ski as well as the something along those lines. Yeah, if you extend up and like you try to get as high as possible, you're disengaging your lats and like your shoulders are kind of like coming up toward your ears, like kind of locking those things down. And then when you start pulling, it's like you're pulling against your body is like what you're pulling against kind of. So like it's much more stable. And I've been doing the same with my feet. I used to get up on my toes a little bit. And again, same kind of thing. It just kind of like makes the what I'm pulling against less stable and strong. So now I'm like staying flat footed and it just feels so much more powerful. I don't know if it's harder, but like it's not like that much that I feel like that I'm losing anything on it. So
yeah.
Always tinkering on the ski.
For sure.
What was your workout of the week, Meg? I know you got like 10 that you can choose from.
Yeah, I do. So I did a really cool workout. Actually, Rich and I had done it kind of similar style, but we did it on the when he was in Binghamton. So it was an E5 mom, 25 to 30 minutes. I think I did 30 minutes, and it was an 800 meter row or ski. 800. The row was into burpee broad jumps to finish out the 5 minutes, and then the ski was into sandbag lunges to finish out the 5 minutes. And then there was no transition. It was right into the next and I alternated between the ski and the row.
So you went all the way up to the 5 minute mark and then just switch machines.
And then switch machines. So you drop the sandbag, hop right on the rower, and you were going, you're already going in your 5 minutes. So there was no real rest. It was pretty hard. Definitely very hard of a workout to be hitting like true, true threshold on those machines. So it was like around Hyrox pace, arguably. My ski would start like just over Hyrox pace. And then as I could like calm my heart rate down, I was like into it probably about 200 meters in at where I like to be in Hyrox, and same with the row. So really more like actual pace. But it was a good, like, it was super high end feeling, even though the pace on the screen didn't seem crazy. Yeah, no. It was a good grind. So
I feel like when you start losing power on the row, you can kind of keep it together. But when you start losing power on the ski,
yeah, totally.
It's like when you start losing time climbing
slower.
Up a hill.
Yeah.
I can really
like dig in on the row and like find it. And maybe I'm like 1 second per 500 right. slower, but right. the row is like five, you know what I mean? Like,
or you mean the ski. The ski.
I'm sorry. The ski feels drastically different when you get to that, like that point and you're like, okay, I literally can't go any harder than this.
That's why the row is harder. Like if you're doing all out intervals on the ski versus the row, because you can just take it there on the row, you can find it a little bit more. And it just is so to me, it just is like on the ski, I'm out of power. I just as fast as I can go. But on the row, you can keep doing it. Rowing's miserable, dude. Not my jam. I did a little grippy workout. I wanted to be very specific to grip. 10 minute AMRAP, 15 toes to bar, 15 dumbbell clean and jerks at a weight that I could do almost unbroken. I was using 40, so nothing crazy heavy, but something that I could continue to move and ended up from the hang. So I wasn't bringing all the way to the ground. So I had to like hold on to the dumbbell the whole time. And then 30 double unders, 10 minute AMRAP. Pretty straightforward. Just wanted to blow my grip out and it worked. I know you guys can't do double unders. So whatever else you need to do, like,
yeah, like I would have just rowed. School,
could row.
I've done workouts like that where it was like 15 cal row into 15 total bar into 15 or into like 100 meter farmer carry. And your grip is so blown.
Mm-hmm.
It is like on the rower, I'm like holding on with like one finger because my grip is so blown out. Those are good. Those are great workouts for that kind of stuff.
Just for grip stuff. Yeah. Have you ever done like farmers into ski?
No, but I've done them into kettlebell swings before.
I thought
I was going to throw that thing across the room.
For sure. It's funny how the ski, it does affect that as well. Because when your arms go up, like you're not getting the blood into those forms. So that's a great way to blow that grip out too. Then I was just grinding on some Hyrox stuff, man. I just did a mile, 1,000 meter ski, 800 meter into push, 800 meter into pull, 2 minute rest. Then did mile into burpee broad jumps, 800 into farmers, and then I just kind of finished up with 800 row, 400 lunges, 400 wall balls, and I did less. I did like 75 lunges and 75 wall balls. So
you're getting specific, man.
Yeah, man.
Dialing in.
Oh yeah, and running hard. These miles into these things, like, so I'm a little bit blown up in like the middle here, just because I'm pressing those miles and just like hoping I make it through the station's okay.
I think that's the biggest thing right now. Like I'm usually so calculated with my efforts, especially in training, to where like you're always thinking you're one step ahead, you know? And Hyrox is kind of one of those things where it's like you can't be afraid to just go there.
I know,
you know, because other people are going to go there. And if
or
you're not-
sometimes it's the same thing. You just have to sit in the suck.
Mm.
Like you're currently in the suck. It sucks. It hurts. And you just have to sit in it, you know, and not get too, oh, fuck, what's next? Oh, fuck. Mm. You know, like getting freaking yourself out almost.
And with the undulating efforts coming in and out of the stations, like I found that I can do more than if it was like just a straight like running type workout. Like if it's a running workout, I overextend on the running. Like in the next one's more running, it's going to be hard to continue to overextend. But there is something about HYROX that like brings your effort down just a little bit. And then when you go back into the running, like I found that I can do it, even though like I don't really want to. But it's just not taking out like maybe that specific fatigue. I haven't quite figured it out, but it's hard.
During that road race, I was like, man, if I had like a 200 meter pharma carry right now, I could totally regroup and finish this thing out.
I love that the pharma carry really truly is just everyone's regrouping moment. Like we're all like, okay, take a breath.
Calms down.
Just get through this. Just hold these on. Don't put them down. You know, like, but that's like the only thing you're worried about is just don't put them down.
You know what I mean?
Like, that's it. It's not like painful, you know, it's just trying to calm your heart rate down a bit.
When I first picked up in the last race, I first picked up the farmers, I was like, oh no, this is still going to suck
just too. Feeling a little heavier than
everything
is
just like, oh, just like feeling like going to puke. Yeah. But then, yeah, you start going, you're just like not going.
I'm
going
to be real straight up in saying that I wish they kept the farmers on the grid, on grid style. I don't like the long, I'm good at those turns. I don't like those long straights. I think it makes everyone else, it's easier for everyone else. And I'm good at the grid style. That's how I train farmers. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I don't like it.
After this Berlin course, you know, I'm looking at these times. I need every advantage I can get on time just for the sake of my end time. I'm not grandfathered in yet. I need the world championship course.
Was there no rock zone at all? Is that what I was?
They just didn't really count. They counted it as your run as well. Like it was a one big loop. Like you went out and then it was a.
Yeah.
Like, it must have been 600, 700 meters of just like straight. And then you just came back in on the other side. So they didn't like count. So I think they just counted the full circle as your run.
Yeah. Yikes.
I think we're going to see a world championship outdoors at some point.
Oh, yeah?
I think so.
Maybe.
I mean, if the conditions are the same for everyone, I don't really care about that. It's more the fact that these are potential times on a leaderboard to get you into this or that.
That's qualify the shitty part. Things.
Qualify it to whatever for next year. They could count for a year.
Like dude who won ran.
That's 50, the issue.
He ran 56 in Vienna Open, and then he did the exact same time in pro. Yeah,
they're just not training hard, this man. Race. They're not counting this race.
It's already on the board. It's already up.
Yeah, that's the issue. Is like, how do you? Yeah, I don't know.
It's already up.
I don't know.
I've been running fast too, squad. I went up to Binghamton, maxed out Meg's treadmill. I was like, what's the deal with this treadmill? Shit ain't fast enough. Come on. And the treadmill turned into winter again. This week.
I've been checking the weather still, just so I can be like, it's so much nicer here than
right now. Like, we'll talk in June and July. See how
all right, you get 2 months of nice weather. Congrats.
2 months. It's always nice here. You're gonna and that summertime, dude.
That humidity. You're gonna be like
summertime
oh,
in
no.
Colorado can't be beaten.
Unbelievable. But. Fall. Spring kind of sucks. It takes a long time for winter to go away. But I was just like, I was supposed to do on the track thousands on the track. I was just like, no, I'm done with winter. I'm not going out there and suffering in the cold. So I hit the treadmill. I was running like thousands. Started at 5:07, ended at 5. Treadmill's a little bit quicker, but maxed out another treadmill. Wherever you got a treadmill, nice. It's not safe. I'm going faster than it.
Where'd you go? What gym?
Just like the community center here.
Mm. Oh, that's why.
Same ones you got?
Yeah, I didn't say mine were good.
Does the trick.
They probably weren't even accurate. You're probably running like 6:07 pace.
Hey, careful. I train on those a lot. That's rude.
Rolling. What else? So we got doubles program officially out. We're gonna kind of push that out a little bit more, but 8-week doubles program. It's if you're lining up for worlds, you could pop in about week 6 and I think you'll be good to go. Oh yeah, we gained some world records, lost some world records.
Ah, yeah.
So what do we have now? Women's pro double.
Alex even
pro doubles
Alex...
in whatever. The relay, the mixed relay.
Mixed relay.
Yeah. Here's my takeaway, because I love Alex and I love Alice. They
the
beat us by 17 seconds.
2 minutes.
So not very much. Definitely fast course, but I will say, in Kent and my defense, there is probably not out there that has raced so far, and anyone feel free to challenge me on this, that had a mixed team where the woman actually did 45 to 50% of the stations. All these mixed teams, the women don't, they do, the men are doing 90% of the work on the stations. Kent and I split things up pretty fairly. I did 70 wall balls.
70 wall like, balls. Sticking to the plan. Kent
you know
said,
what I'm
hey,
saying?
He
like
70.
We did pretty boom. Equal on Drop. The ski. He did a little more on the row. Like
gotta get your record back. They took it from you.
Because, well, yeah.
Maybe that's not a good strategy.
Maybe it's not, but at the same time, like the fact that you have a female who's strong enough and fast enough to be able to do that and then run that fast. Like, it's pretty crazy.
I mean, Alex ran.
Usually this is not the strategy of the mixed teams.
Alex would have set
that's
the doubles.
My point.
Alex would have set the mixed doubles record by himself. He did the next day. Right?
In the open weight. Yeah.
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 That's the same as mixed doubles weight.
I think Alex knows that, like, his performance, even though they beat our time, I don't think he necessarily believes that they would have beaten us.
We'll have to see.
And Alex is my boy, but I think he knows.
Yeah, we weren't tripping over it at all, really. We were like, cool, good for you. You know, and then he got the open men's record on Sunday.
Crazy. No, people, like, I didn't. Look, we don't have to talk about this. I don't even really want to talk about this, but I knew people were talking about Alex's race, but I didn't know people had an issue with what I did.
They did?
Why?
On some other podcast I interfered with, like,
how you weren't even in their heats.
I literally raced in like an hour after.
You were
them.
Like a three heats later. That what
I know.
We were
I know
we
it's
were
crazy.
Invited to do that. I'm who send me the podcast. I'll direct message them myself.
Let
we were invited just for everybody's full awareness. We were invited to do the last chance qualifiers as other Elite 15 athletes who are already qualified. We got an email from the Hyrox team. We were fully allowed to do that. They did, however, want us. Their preference was that we were not in the same heat, so we didn't impact the race. Completely understandable. That was one of the reasons I had no intention of doing the race to begin with, because I know that my presence in a race can likely impact the way other people race. And I think that they should have a fair shot.
And for the record, I felt the same way and had
and
no issues.
And he was three heats later and it was not a problem for him at all. As a person who was there, eyewitness.
Nah,
that's silly.
Dude. It's fucked up that you did that, bro.
I know, man. I know.
Why'd you do that to everybody? Should be embarrassed. Look at
like, I guess just like
I
racing.
Thought,
like the
I
last chance
thought,
qualifier race was separate from men's pro.
Yes.
It was a completely different event. There was the last chance qualifier race, and then there was the men's pro division.
Yes.
So basically what you're telling me is I can't show up and race like men's pro at any race.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
Good. Glad we all agree.
So we got doubles coming. It is officially out. Check out free. You get a free 7-day trial, $14.99 after that. Then everybody should just take ESN products. I was just drinking the electrolytes cola flavored.
Oh, I don't like that one so much.
Not into
I
the
like
cola?
I like the apple.
You're the apple is fire.
Is it?
It's like an apple Jolly Rancher, like a blow pop.
You got to
so
put
good.
A little more water in it to just kind of.
Yeah, it's a little strong, so you got to kind of dilute it a hair. But and there's a cherry one that I like too.
Yeah, cherry's good.
Got that. Got some hazelnut protein powder. It's been pretty good. It's been not bad.
So I got that hazelnut spread.
It's a dream spread. You know, you know that that's my shit, right?
So they have good. they have like a Nutella.
Yeah. It's like it's not. Yeah, obviously it has way less.
Use
sugar
code.
Than Nutella.
Use code Ryan.
If you're check or, it out.
Or MJ.
If you're international, not available in the United States.
I've been putting I put the designer whey in like everything now. So like in my oats, in my Greek yogurt, like I'm putting it in everything. It's super.
We even got the waffle mix or whatever, and Sarah made waffles the other day with it. It's really so good. Yeah.
Wait, what's the hazelnut spread? I got the peanut butter because I was like,
it's clutch. Dream spread. It's called Dream spread. They have a coconut flavored one, and you know I'm all over this. I got like four in my cupboard. I literally text them because we can't get the products in the US. So when I have to send my order and I have to send it by a text, and I'll put like Dream spread times six.
It's just, as much as you got.
It's disgusting.
I have a problem.
Yeah, hi, it's me. yeah, it's super good.
I see it now. I see it now.
Yeah.
I'm going to cop some. So if you're into sports
shouts
nutrition.
Shouts to Rich getting on. Rich is on the squad now.
I'm out here.
Yeah.
I'm out here
on the
squad.
Yes, I am. Rolling deep.
I had a buddy.
All four of the camp peeps are ESN athletes now. So that's dope for us.
I didn't realize that the ESN logo is like the ESPN logo without the
A little bit.
Almost exactly.
Bit.
Yeah. And my buddy's like, is that ESPN? You sportsCenter? I was like, yep.
Check me on SportsCenter. Yep, I am. It is ESPN.
Check me on SportsCenter. All right, fam. Great catching up.
Yes, sir.
We'll talk to everybody soon. See ya.
Peace.